Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 37 for June 5th, 2018. Just a few days, about 50 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I've put the list together of the most frequently requested ones, which you should be seeing on your screen right now. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing.com. And I developed this show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades. He is going to be here to moderate tonight, but he is finishing up another presentation. Let's go ahead and get started with the introductions. A little bit about yourself and your work.
I'm sorry, David, did you ask me? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, there's an echo. Yeah, sure. Well, thanks again for having me here, David. And yeah, I'm Larry Gaines, and I'm the founder and CEO or leader of PowerCycleTrading.com. So I've been trading for, you know, over 30 years and was previously ran a really large oil trading group for over 10 years. So my background is trading oil, commodities, you know, just a lot of different things. But what we do now at PowerCycle Trading, my whole thing is directional trading based on our trading model. And then using options for those trades for, you know, better leverage and risk control. So I like, you know, trading, directional trading, and then using options for all those trades. So a lot of fun to be here. I love looking at the various different trade setups. So we've got a lot of good ones to look at here today. So thanks again for having me.
And Jim, how about
sure.
you?
Sure. I'm Jim Kinney. I provide the content for the Option Professor DVDs. Option Professor has been educating investors for better than 20 years now, and basically goes over everything from the basics, intermediate, and advanced strategies, and goes over the uses and the risks of every strategy. Some strategies might be used for income and cash flow purposes, and others may be used for hedging, meaning to offset risk on another position. And other strategies are simply limited risk speculation. And so there is a lot to learn. And through the DVDs, people come away with a lot of information they can use down the road.
Okay, thank you. And let's see, looks like Dean's logging in now. So Dean, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, I'm good.
Okay, great. We were just doing introductions. So if go ahead and do yours and then we can start with the list.
Okay. Hey, I'm Dean Jenkins, founder of FollowMeTrades.com, and good to be here. Thanks for having me back to moderate, David. Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're on. Sounds good.
Okay. So we got Jim and Larry, right? That's
yeah. Hey, Jane.
Hey, guys. I didn't catch the intro, so good. Well, hey, we got an interesting list today. There's some new symbols on there that I haven't seen before, so I'm excited to go through them to take a look at them, to offer my opinion, and to hear your guys' opinions. And with a smaller panel, just the three of us, I think we should get through these pretty quick and get as many as possible. So let's jump right into it. First symbol up is LEAD, lead or lead or whatever it is. And we'll go in alphabetical order. And so, Jim, you're up.
Okay. Well, I'm not 100% familiar with this ETF, but it looks like it's involved in dividend leaders and things like that. So it has been doing pretty good. I think it's probably going to mirror a lot of what the S&P and the major broad indexes do. So if we can get those going higher, this thing looks like it probably would participate. Technically, it's got a inverted 50 and 200 day with the $32 price on the 50-day average and a 31.35 on the 200 day. So they've crossed to the upside. That's a good thing. And it's trading at 33.16. So it's trading above the averages as well. All that looks very good. It looks like it's got a really good support just above 30. And the only thing that would be a little concerning is the volume seems to be a little dry. 50-day volume is only 7,200 shares a day, and the 200-day volume is 12,000, 13,000. So this recent advance has not been tremendously embraced with volume. But technically, it looks pretty good. And if you're a believer the broad indexes are going higher, then this would be something that would make sense.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just reading the name. I think I'm with you. It seems like it's some kind of dividend play ETF thingy. Larry, what do you think of this thingy?
Yeah, this thingy lead looks fine. I mean, you know, just not knowing much about it, but technically that looks good. You know, it's back. I like to look at the Fib levels. Once we get above that 618 hold, that looks good to open up the gate or door for the next, you know, major area, which would be right here to 3350, but, you know, potentially back up to that prior high. And so it looks good. I mean, we've had a, you can see it consolidated held here. So it's taking the next push up. So, you know, if you jump into this one, I think you could look for 33, like I said, 50, then potentially up there. Or if you get a pullback into this kind of 3250 level, pretty decent support there, and could potentially look for an entry down around that level. But overall, you know, it looks fine.
All right. I agree with everything that's been said. The technical setup, the pattern here looks good. Looks very similar to the S&P 500. And I would not touch it for the volume thing that Jim pointed out, right? Way too thin. You can get stuck in this thing and not get out of it. And that would not be a good situation. So I would not trade it ever at those volume levels. All right. Next up, this one's got some volume. I know, IBB.
Yeah, I was looking at, am I up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at Amgen and Biogen just earlier today, and they've had pretty good bounces here. And now the question is, can they break through this resistance here and keep going? The good news is they've gotten above the 50-day and the 200-day average on IBB. 50-day average 105.5, and the 200 days at 108. So that's good news. The bad news is those two numbers are still inverted, which means if this thing started dropping under 108, 105, it could go right back into the soup. And if it breaks under 100, you know, it could even accelerate to the downside. So I think this is a real critical zone, this 110 area here. If it can break above 110, you know, I think you've got something that could have some real good legs to it. But I'd be somewhat careful around 110. Simply because of the fact that there is some resistance I see technically, some former lows from the fourth quarter of 2017 that could be some resistance here. And then, of course, like I say, the inversion of the 200 and the 50-day average is kind of telling us that this is a bounce off of a trend that had rolled over. And so I don't know if I'd get the party hats out until I saw it really close above 110, and maybe at that point I might take a bite.
Okay. What do you think, Larry?
I agree, because what I'm seeing here, you can see from my charts, if you're looking at it, you're here again is that 618 retracement. So coming from that swing high we had back in March to the low, we're right into that 618. So for me, I want to see it get through that 618. That's a very, very key technical Fibonacci level. And if it can get above that and then hold, have that become support, then it's got a chance to push back up to that prior swing high right there at 115. But until it does that, I would just hold and wait and you know, let that establish itself over that key resistance point, which is currently still resistance. And, you know, but good support right here at the 200-day. You can see all that price action. So kind of sandwiched in here, let's call it 108 to 110. But I'd just let it either break out and get it back above that 110 or see if it fails. So right in here, do nothing.
Okay, nothing. And sometimes that's the absolute best trade, no trade, right? At least on a particular instrument. You know, I'm looking at this on my daily chart. You guys can see my screen. I got a couple years worth of data up. Not my favorite. It's very volatile. You know, I look for orderly stocks. You know, I think you get a better, you know, this is the kind of thing you could be right about the trend and still get stopped out just based on, you know, its average true range. And so I don't really care for instruments that move like that. So I look for things that move a little more gracefully, a little more orderly. So I'm not interested in this. There's no trade for me on IBB. Home Depot, they should be screaming up just based on what I'm spending there. Yeah.
Well, Yeah, Home Depot obviously was a fantastic buy when we were talking about it when it went down to its 200-day moving average, which at the time was around 171. And obviously it held that 200-day average and has bounced up all the way up here, you know, above 190 and everything. So it does look good. The inverted 50-day and 200-day are certainly nothing negative there. As far as right this second here, you know, again, this is probably going to do well if the indexes break out to the upside. So that would be one thing to consider. And if they're not going to break out to the upside, there's some real estate between 192 and 176 where the 200-day is there. And if it filled in that real estate between those two prices, it would be more interesting to me. If the broad-based indexes were to roll over to the downside, this, I think, would participate in that decline.
Yeah, it sure did in January, didn't it?
Yeah. So like I say, this is, you know, obviously a very large cap company, and it's obviously one of the big ones that's held by most of the stock funds. And so if they're dumping stocks in a stock fund, this would be one of them. They'd do it. And they probably have some pretty handsome gains overall in the last few years. So this would be something they could scale back on as well. But right now, technically, this thing is in good shape. The only thing I would throw a little water on is the fact that it's, you know, 15, 20 bucks above its 200-day average. And unless we're going to take out 2780 and 2800 on the S&P, this may have a hard time going substantially higher.
All right. Can't wait to hear your thing, Larry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. Okay. Yeah. I think it looks real good here. I mean, you know, this is for a trade. I'm not looking for a long-term, you know, huge trend up, but this is what we call a volatility squeeze. You can see this tight pattern of consolidation. And then when we get that consolidation phase here, you know, we're looking for it to either break up or down. And so like to look at momentum for the direction of a potential break. You can see down here, these indicators that are above zero, those are momentum based indicators. They look good. Here's a, you know, a 4-hour time frame. So it looks, you know, it looks like it has good potential. You've got 618 here at 193, call it 194. So, you know, this would be worth taking a shot at it. And if it can get through that one, this 618, it's got good potential back to the upside. But that's a pretty decent looking technical pattern there.
Yeah, I agree. I got a pretty clear Elliott Wave 5, which is the highest probability. You know, we had this big impulsive move starting in 16 all the way through last year and the beginning of this year. Perfect correction, the continuation of the original trend, really clear evidence that's beginning with higher highs, higher lows. I got a momentum indicator as well. It's positive. So a target on this for this continuation of the original trend up here, 224 to 258. And we just took out this last previous high and this last move last week. So, you know, higher high, higher low, new highs. So it's all go from a technical standpoint. The thing that would keep me out, I think Jim mentioned, this thing's super highly correlated to the S&P 500. And so this would be a great trade if you are bought into the indexes continuing up. If you think there's some risk there, you know, this is probably going wherever it goes. And so I'm a little hesitant to, you know, I've got a couple that are correlated to the S&P 500, but if every one of your trades is, then you've really only got one trade on, and that's a little bit dangerous from an overall portfolio management standpoint. So I like the setup, like the technicals. I'm not taking the trade, but if you know if anybody's not exposed in that way, it may be good. And if you are bullish on the indexes, okay. So next up is ETE, Energy Transfer Equity LP. I know these LPs sometimes have funky tax treatments. I know there's some extra paperwork for some people if you're trading these things. But yeah, Jim.
Well, it's a pipeline transportation, and it's been pretty much back and forth between about $14 and, you know, $18 to $20. And right now it's been back on the upswing. The technicals are a little dodgy here because of the 50-day and the 200-day are inverted, 1580 on the 50 and 1672 on the 200-day. But the stock is trading above both numbers at 1761. Volume is a little bit skinny lately at the 50-day average at around 4 million shares versus 5 million on a 200-day. Obviously, people are buying this thing for the yield, probably not unlike they buy that Aileron company, AMLP, something like that. So, these things, they go up and down on their own, not just on oil prices alone. And right now it's on the upswing. So people buying this, they're buying it for the 6.93% yield. And they're just hoping that their principal doesn't fall under 14 and start going in the toilet. But, right now it's just fairly stable, right in the middle of the range that it's been at for the last few years, which is around 18 and 14, 14 and 19. So it's right smack in the middle. You're going to get the dividend that they or the yield that they're giving out. And then your the P ratio at 18 is not over the top. But like I say, these things do go on their own drummers.
So buy it, hold it, take the yield.
I would say, right now, like I say, if you're in it, you'd hold it and you'd certainly love that yield. And then you'd obviously probably use 14 as a get out of town card.
Yeah. So that's kind of the ideal stock, though, to if you're a yield player, buy it for the yield and sit there and write covered calls against it, too.
Yeah, I don't know what the premiums would be on this thing because it doesn't seem to go very far, but you could look into it anyway. And, it doesn't sound like a big move, but you take 1761, and if you went down to 14, you would be looking at about a drop of 20%. So 20% minus 6.93% yield is certainly not the kind of math you want to get involved in.
Yeah. Larry, you're a technical trader, I know, probably not a dividend guy, so I don't know.
Well, one thing just from the technical standpoint, it looks pretty decent. But since it is a dividend based type of play, I don't like to chase, the dividend type stocks are fantastic, but I'd rather be buying those on lows than on, highs. But it looks good, but you're going to start getting some resistance at 18 and then up here. So, it's not one that you would strictly trade on technicals alone, right? So not one I'd probably do anything on right here, but for dividend play, these are a fantastic type of stocks to look for, to get into. But I like to get into those on a pullback to support and then see it turn. So that's just the way, like MLPs or any of those that, I've been involved with, I'd prefer to get those on like what we call, value plays, where you buy them on a cycle low here. You can see where it's turning. So, if you're following these types of dividend type stocks, MLPs or whatever it might be, if you can get in on these turns, that's the best place. Now, if you're in this, that's fantastic. Just stick with it and just let it grind all the way, as far as it wants to go. But to jump in a dividend stock now, those are long-term plays. I probably would avoid it jumping into it right here.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I just drew a couple boundary lines of where this thing's gone for, 2 years. And it looks like more like a flow dynamic study in a pipeline than a stock chart, right? So, there's nothing there for a technical trader, swing trader like me. Not interested. But it's fun to bring it up. ICHR, never heard of it. This would be fun. This could be the next jewel right here.
Yeah, this is semiconductors, and this thing's had a pullback down towards 20, and it banged on 20 a number of times here in 2018 so far, and it's held. It's now trading at 26.23, which is above the 50-day average and right on the number on the 200-day average. Those averages are inverted a bit, 24 and 26 are the two numbers. One thing that sticks out is short interest at 25.64% of the stock. So there must be a significant amount of hedging or shorting against the box or negative people on this, because 25.64 is a very high short interest number, which means if it does get cooking, there's a lot of people who may want to cover their shorts, and that could create some short-term volatility. The volume on it is pretty flat, about the same on the 50-day and the 200-day. P ratio is at 12.5. So this thing seems like it's coiling. I'd like to see what the other technical indicators you guys are showing. It seems to me if it got above 30, it could fly for whatever reason.
Yeah. I said as we were bringing up, maybe this is the next jewel. What do you think, Larry? Jewel in the rough here?
I would need to see it start breaking above this you know, just this trend line I put in. I just think there's better things out there. I mean, it's just, you can see how whippy it's been. Very, very whippy. That's a weekly, but still this price action is very, very whippy up and down. I don't know. Doesn't get me too excited. As far as, you know, I don't see a kind of volatility squeeze kind of setup that I look for. But if this was to get above this area here, 27, 28, then, you know, it could be a different story. But I think there are better things out there personally. So,
yeah, anyway. One thing I just wanted to throw in there is that there's a lot of popularity on the smaller cap stocks right now. Witness the Russell Index, and this thing has only got about 671 million as a market cap. So it might also catch a tailwind if the popularity of the smaller caps continue going.
The one thing, though, yeah, that you pointed out earlier, though, the big short interest, I love that. So if you've got, you know, 20, 25% short interest and this thing does start to break out, you know, yeah, then you get all the shorts being squeezed. So that's yeah, the thing, that those can be real juicy. But I would wait for it to break out right here. It's just kind of stuck churning around that 200-day moving average.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. Whippy is the perfect term for this. You know, I like stocks that move, but I like it when they move with some, you know, some order and predictability. And this thing, not so much, right? You can't really see any time or price repetition. It just moves at random, and there's not really a big trend going on right now.
Yeah.
So the short ratio thing is super interesting. And, you know, typically we wait a minute, but I'm going to show another trade that I'm in right now. Open my kimono a little bit. This is a Kimco Realty. We're long Kimco. And so what we see is, you know, big impulsive move down, channeled, breaking to the upside. Now looks like a correction underway. And, another super thing that's super interesting about this is, again, it's short ratio. So short ratio is 5-1. That's pretty big, right? The percent of float isn't that big, but the amount of shares short versus the average daily volume is huge. And so we could get a short squeeze, a short covering rally that would take us up to our target here at 19, even if nothing fundamentally about the company changes. Once it starts, the shorts start covering pretty fast, and that can really drive it pretty well. So that's one. That's a freebie that I like right there, Kimco Realty. Back on track, APC.
Yeah, this company has been very popular on TV. I've heard a number of people liking it, and of course, why wouldn't they? It just went from 50 to 70 this year. The question is where is it going to go from here? Oil looks like it's definitely taking a bit of a break here, and this stock hit a resistance where the highs of 2017 January area, right around 70, were just hit, and now we're coming off. I think this is a stock that has some potential of coming off because of the fact that it is about 21% above its 200-day average. And I've been noticing even great companies, Boeing, et cetera, where you get 20, 30% above its 200-day average, just something occurs and they have some kind of a pullback. I've just seen it. I saw it happen to a lot of companies. So this one's a good company as far as they're making money and it's going up, but it's had a good run from below 50 all the way up to 70. Oil has made a turn a bit down. They are an oil extraction business and they've had a good run and it wouldn't surprise me if it pulls back to 65.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Larry.
Yeah, I'm pretty much full agreement. You know, we've had oil pulling back. Oil's made its really big peak and kind of pulling back right now. And you can see here just these are reversals and momentum shifting down. So I see this, you know, could easily pull back down into this zone here where you see all that price action. So, you know, down to 65 to 66 level, I would not be looking to buy it right here. You can see it's just hanging right on those moving averages. And if you push me one way or the other, I would probably take a short for a move down to, you know, not a big, huge move down to 66. So you can just see on the lower time frame, here's 5 minute. Today it came off. We put it back to 4 hour. You can see we're starting to get some negative momentum here. So, you know, if you're looking to buy the stock, I would just wait for it to pull back into this zone here to see if it stabilizes. Otherwise, do nothing, or, you know, potentially could take a short for a little bit of a move down.
It's interesting. You know, Larry, I think you trade shorter hold times than I do. I'm in trades 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's short. I mean, you know, I'm in for 2-3 days or a week, you know, very short duration kind of swings.
So on that, you know, from 69 to 66, probably an okay profit target for you, right? For me, that I think it's going to find support, like you said, right around 66, 65.
Yeah.
That would not be a big enough target for me for a longer term hold.
But see, when you use options, if you do an option spread, that's still pretty good return, you know, using weeklies.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. APC. Next up, Jazz.
Yeah, this one's definitely been on the bicycle as far as its price movement. Late 2016, so in the last 18 months, you've gone from 100 to 175 about. So that's a pretty healthy run, huh? They're making money, and the P's are 23, which in this kind of an industry is probably not that not too high. Looks great, except if you had to put a little, you know, water on the fire here. It is pretty far away from its 200-day average. The 200-day average down to 146. We're at 172. So in terms of percentages, that's going to equal about 15%. Nothing off the chart, you know, nothing off the chart, not way over the top. But if it did have a pullback because it got some bad news, or the pharmaceutical thing got some relatively bad news, if you could get in there between the 160 and 145 area, you know, that would probably be a better, or actually 160, 150 area, that would probably be a better entry point, unless this thing is just going to fly through 175 and start printing 200. Which, right, anything could happen in biotech, right?
Yeah, definitely. Anything can happen. And that's why the IBB is kind of a tough one, right? Because some are doing great, some are doing badly, and it's, you know, kind of the mean, right? It's hard to, I think you're better off individual plays than IBB for sure right now. Larry, yeah, man.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's had a great move. You know, you're hitting all of its profit targets here. So here's just that prior, you know, I mean, this has been a fantastic move up, and you can see, you know, so extended from this 200-day moving average. So when you look here from this prior, that last swing high to low right here, you can see that nice kind of a churning wedge, you know, kind of a bull flag here. It broke out of that flag, and we just hit the next profit zone, that 1618 extension. So usually, you know, you hit that, just let it cool off. See if it comes back down into this area here. I would not be chasing this to the upside.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I just did a quick, you know, Fibonacci Elliott wave analysis. We had 3, perfect 4. We're in 5. It's in the target zone. I'm kind of late, and a tough one to trade. Tough one to trade. Even in the uptrend, the higher low swings are pretty extreme, and take out
big swing,
like support levels, you know, so little whippy, to use your technical term, right? Even in the uptrend, you could be stopped out, and that's super frustrating to be right and to lose money. So we're about halfway through the list. Let's go ahead and I showed one trade that I like, but we'll go around the panel here and see what you like. Jim, what's on your radar right now for a trade?
What? You know, there's one that I was in before, and then basically I think it might have some value now, and that's Freeport-McMoRan. And, you know, the metals have not done very well, but they did come down and test some support. That gold going down towards 1275 I thought was pretty important. And so if it can get on its bicycle a little bit this summer, this Freeport-McMoRan has the 200-day and the 50-day moving average right just a little bit underneath where it's trading. So you could keep it on a short leash. There's a gap right around 18-19 area. So going up towards 19 could happen if we got moving a bit. And yeah, the 200-day and the 50-day are coming in at around 1694 and 1652. So they've crossed to the upside, and they're not too far from the current price of 1765. And the dollar It would not surprise me if it would have a little problems looking forward, because it had a nice little rally here. But my target on the euro was 115, which it hit. And there are some who believe that we could see another roll over in the dollar. We've got a big budget thing with the government in September. And so people may start thinking that there could be a little chaos between Trump and Congress on budgets and all that kind of stuff. And that could cause volatility on the dollar, and that might be helpful to this thing. So it's got a lot of support at 15, and it's got moving averages 1650 and change. And it has been trying to go a little bit higher. So I was just thinking there could be some value there.
Interesting. And I'm with you on the dollar. Yeah, I'm showing my chart on the UUP, the euro dollar ETF. It actually is in a corrective move up. This big move up we had this year is, you know, a correction to the massive move down last year. And it's kind of done. It looks like it could start down and follow that original trend down. And so I'm with you on, I think that run in the dollar could be over. Larry, what do you like?
Well, this is, we've had this week, everything you know, last week was set up. You can see a lot of things, you know, after that non-farm payroll, we had a lot of the tech stocks last week made their move. So a lot of them have already made the big move. So it's kind of hard to jump into them now. But one of them that's kind of interesting is Apple right here. So you can see Apple, if you look at the daily time frame and you look over here to this time frame on the far right, that's a 4 hour, which is, it was very, very coiled, right? And then it broke out, you know, last Friday, continued to the upside yesterday. But the thing that's interesting about Apple is that you've got this kind of target up here about 197, 198. And that's also about, I think, where it becomes that $1 trillion company, right? So markets have a funny thing about pushing to various big targets. So that could be the big target. Then you'd probably get it to, you know, the profit taking coming in selling. But one way to play this, one way that we were playing it is to set up a wide butterfly. So did like a 195, 200, 205 butterfly for next week's expiration. And if we get a push up in here to, you know, 197 in that area, you can just take profit on the butterfly. You could convert it to a ratio butterfly, a lot of different ways you could play it, but that was kind of a lower risk trade to kind of based on the potential for this to kind of maybe push towards that first $1 trillion company.
All right, that's pretty interesting. Absolutely. First $1 trillion company. So I showed Kimco, and I like that, but another one we're in that's pretty interesting is CGC, Canopy Growth, the cannabis stock, just moved from the over-the-counter to New York Stock Exchange, carried the history with it. And this is a wave five, so we had a big impulsive move, nice correction, and of course, Canada's getting ready to come online, and you know, they've already approved the legalization, and it's going to be available next month. But we got a target up here, Fibonacci Extension Zone up 35 to 38 to 50, and it looks really highly probable. So we're in this one and in some profit, and there's still time to get in. It trades at nice volume, and it's got a really, really nice technical pattern. So we're gonna roll with this one, and liking it so far. All right. Thanks, guys, for sharing what you're interested in. Good stuff. And now we're back to the list and back to
you guys. We had a question on the survey, too, that I don't think we've talked about on either show for a while. So if you have any comments on this, basically the question was which broker is best. So if you guys could talk a little bit about what broker or trading platform that you've used, or which one you like the best, or what you use now, that sort of thing.
Oh, that'd be fun to talk about for a minute. I'll go first on this one. My personal opinion, I think Thinkorswim and TradeStation are the top two, at least for U.S.-based traders. I know TradeStation's not available globally, but I think they're the top two in terms of combined brokerage and trading platforms. I like TradeStation because I know it, and I've been using it for a long time, and so I'm really familiar, but TOS seems to have really, really good capabilities. And for veterans, if you're a veteran, it's a no-brainer to go to TradeStation because you get no platform fees and no commissions, free. That's free is a pretty good price, and it's high quality. So that's my take on it. Jim, what do you like?
I think, frankly, you guys are probably in a better position to, give opinions on this particular area because I don't have experience with a large number of the different firms where I think you guys do. So I'd just, take a step back and let you guys give the information.
Okay.
Yeah, the ditto, Thinkorswim and TradeStation, both really nice platforms. TradeStation has great commission rates, et cetera. I love the Thinkorswim platform. I love their options. Platform, but TradeStation's excellent as well. So those two, yeah, also.
I know a lot of people use Interactive Broker as their broker, but that means, you're doing analysis somewhere else. And I like to keep it all under one roof, placement trades right off the charts. And stuff.
Now, the other thing too is Thinkorswim is a free platform. So you can open an account with TD Ameritrade online, takes 15, 20 minutes max. And, they're going to automatically approve you. They just want, to get you in. And then you can download or upload the Thinkorswim platform, which you're seeing here with my charts immediately. And you don't really even have to fund it. They just want you to, open an account, and then you can have access to their platform and go from there.
60 days. You got to fund an account or they cut you off.
Yeah. But it's an excellent platform.
Yeah. Because I downloaded it and played with it, and I really like TOS, particularly with option. I was doing some option strategy, looking at some new strategies, and they got a play back, play forward. You can go play trades and play it forward in time, and that's pretty cool. It's end-of-day data. It's not intraday, but it's still really helpful. And TradeStation does not have that, playback capability. They have back testing, but you got to go write code to do it. So, yeah. Well, it sounds like we're in agreement on the top two there. All right. The other platform I hear a lot about is the same guy who developed TOS and sold it to TD Ameritrade. He's written a new platform called, I think it's Tastyworks.
Yeah, that's correct. It's
supposed to be good. People are talking about that as being a pretty easy to use, pretty good system. But I don't know if they're a brokerage or not, or if you got to do something
else. Oh, yeah, they are.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right, back to our list. Another bio, Celgene. What do you think?
Yeah, Celgene obviously fell off a cliff here. And the question is do you want to, has it stopped? Has the rain stopped at 75? It may or may not have. That 74.13 was the low on May 21. That's less than a month ago. So not an exactly time-tested low there. But it is very oversold because the 200-day average is up at 105. And we're down in the 75 area, let's say. So you're talking about a significant drop in the in the distance between the two. So it is very oversold, and there's gaps above anywhere between 130, 110. I don't know if it'll ever have the strength to get up there. Obviously, they had some problems with one of their drugs or something, because I'm not an expert on this stock, but I can see that they've obviously had some very bad news in the last 8 months, taking it from 150 down to 75, half price. Half price sounds pretty good if this is a company that's got anything cooking. $57 billion company on a market cap, so we're not talking about Johnny Lunchbucket here. Good-sized company, $57 billion. And they are, according to what I'm reading, still making a profit, so unless these numbers are wrong, they're still making some money on something, but the volume during the decline in the last 50 days has not been that tremendous. About 7 million shares a day. The 200 day volume is around the same. So it has not been a huge, heavy sell-off that way. I don't know if that's good or bad, but obviously some people like to see a big heavy volume, which means everybody's given up. And that means the market makers have just dropped the bid and let everybody sell all their stock. And now that everyone sold all their stock, then it bounces back. You don't have that here because the volume has not been that egregiously high. So this is, sticking your head into a buzzsaw and just drawing, lines in the sand. Right now, your line's got to be the low of 74. It's trading around 77, 78. And, you're just obviously trying to buy a company here at half price because you think longer term it might have something going. The bounce back should have some resistance at 100 if it does get a bounce back at all.
Okay. Interesting on this one, the short ratio is non-existent, essentially.
No, 1.64. There's nobody shorted.
Yeah.
So that's not a good thing either.
No.
This has just been a slow, steady burn, you know?
Yeah. Larry, sell Celgene?
Celgene. I mean, you know, right, I would just do nothing. You can see, you know, it's had this huge move down, obviously, and here's a monthly time frame. So is it going to break lower? I mean, it could break down and go back down to this area in here, 70, but you're pretty close to it. I would do nothing. I would wait and see if this thing stabilizes, and I wouldn't do anything until it starts pushing back above this. Like, this is a 21 period moving average. I'd wait for these moving averages to start turning up and crossing. So here's an 8 exponential. If that can turn and start crossing that 21, then I'd probably think, hey, that probably looks good to get in. But right here, I would do nothing. I mean, if you want to try to short it, you know, you might be able to get it a real quick timing short on momentum down to retest that 74. But, you know, it could just as easily retrace back up here into these moving averages. If it could break that 21, then it has a good, can get a good pop up to 85. So, I mean, I think there are better things out there, but I would do probably nothing on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think trying to short it right now, the momentum is running out of this downtrend, and the potential profit versus the potential reward on shorting this thing right now doesn't add up for me. And I would not go long either. The trend has not, like you said, the averages haven't turned up. The momentum hasn't turned up. It's just flattening, so I wouldn't touch it at this point at all. All right, next. Lots of political commentary we'd make on Disney, huh? But let's stick to the chart. So, Disney, what do you think there?
Give me one second here. I'm trying to. Okay, yeah, it seems like it's always right around 100, doesn't it? You know, plus or minus 5-7 bucks off 100, back and forth. You know, the company obviously some disappointments out there right now, from what I hear with this Solo and. I don't know if they're involved in that, but I guess they were involved in the Roseanne show. But I don't see a lot of action off of all that, really, you know. So it just seems like it's trying to hold its lows at 98, and it does look like a company that, you know, ESPN with the gambling. Some people are thinking that with the passage of gambling, it's going to be very helpful to ESPN because everyone's going to be hooked at watching the games because they got money on it. That's the theory anyway. So as far as the technicals are concerned, let me just see here real quick.
So here's a question. Does legalizing gambling mean it's going to increase? Cause it's been going
well. I mean, what they're saying is the viewership, and the revenues, to ESPN may pick up because everyone is watching the TV intently, in, Des Moines because they now are gambling on the games. That's the theory. Whether that theory is going to pan out or not is unknown. But that was one of the things. And then, of course, people are complaining that some of their current properties are not making the money that they used to be. I'm just trying to see where the averages are right here. And here they go. Yeah, they're all right around 100. You got 101 or so on the 50, 103. This thing is languishing right here. And so I think it's probably going to be a feast or famine kind of deal. If they come out with something big that's very, very good, you know, then it could take off, especially if it starts getting above 103 and then starts turning these averages up. And I think there's a merger with or some kind of a deal with Fox going on, right? So if something breaks on that, that could be the juice one way or the other to get this thing, you know, 15 or 20 bucks off the number that it's on right now.
All right. Larry. We got here on the happiest place on earth.
I love Disneyland, but I don't see anything I would be doing here. It's just, this is, I remember one of the other times I was in here several weeks back, maybe this isn't, we looked at Disney. It's just, see how whippy that is. I mean, it's just, it's not a very consistent price moving stock. Even when it goes up, it's just whippy. So, you know, it's below all the moving averages. It's just not technically something that looks good.
You know, I agree with you completely. When I'm doing my training and I'm teaching people, you know, my trading approach and analyzing charts and stuff, this is actually my current poster child for a chart. You pull up a chart, looks like this, get it off your screen as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Go find something tradable. This one is terrible. You know, I love Disneyland, but the chart is just, you know, this is where, you know, trading accounts go to die. Right.
Yep.
All right. Here's one I haven't heard of. Is this the shoe deal?
No, yeah, this is the shoe. Yeah, this is the shoes. Yeah.
I thought that
was a comeback. Yeah. I heard
and footwear is on fire. You know, you have us Foot Locker that went crazy in price there about a month or so ago. And so, you know, this thing is up and away. It's gone from about $6 to $18. And so if you're in there, you got to enjoy this ride. You know, consumers working, consumers got money, consumer wants new shoes, apparently. And so these companies are making money. Or at least people think they are going to be making money. And the only thing that's a little bit concerning is obviously the technicals are, we're at 200-day moving average around 1270. You're up at 18, so that's looking like almost 50% above its 200-day. So getting in now would be a little bit nervous because you're getting in a little bit of an overbought condition. So this thing does look great if you're in there, and then there's no, you know, like I say, there's no topping formation or anything. It's very much accelerating, but it is very extended from its 200-day average. So me personally, I would just applaud the people that bought it and keep my money on the side waiting for something on this thing. Short interest is 9.2%, which is not off the charts, but it's pretty good. And of course, some of those people must be you know, probably covering themselves right now. So this company is looking great, and it's got in a good sector where footwear is doing well. But the only negative would be is that it is a bit overbought basis the 200-day average.
All right. What do you think, Larry? Crocs.
Yeah, you know, it's had a fantastic move. I would not be chasing it in here. You can see the sweet spot's been hit. You can see when it kind of turned. Again, here's that magical 618. See right in there? See the high to low and see that 618? See how it came down, held it a few days, and then it started to accelerate. So that was the really good spot right in here. But up here, you're into these extensions on the Fibonacci levels. I would just be, you know, take some profits, have a trailing stop for a profit stop. And if you're in it, fantastic. If not, find something else.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't chase it. That last pullback looked compelling. It was down to about $15. That could have been good, but wouldn't chase it here. You know, it's funny, Crocs, back when I first joined Facebook and they started doing groups, you know, there was a Facebook group called, I don't care how comfortable they are, your Crocs make you look like a dork. I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
Plus Mario Batali wears them.
I have a confession. I do wear them. I've got an old pair I've had for years, and they're just comfortable, but they do look like clown shoes.
I remember watching the Chew, and big Mario Batali used to show everybody his Crocs. You know, hopefully those who own it now have better luck than he's been having lately.
Yeah, I do hear they are comfortable and a comeback. And then Jim said footwear is on fire. So interesting. Yeah, nice trend. I would not chase it. It's too late. There's no. I want to move on. Next up here, we have waiting for symbol AT. I don't recognize this symbol.
This is Aetna. I'm glad I met you. Remember? So on this guy here, we have got a market that went way up, similar to all the financials, right? And then it came back down right after the January blow off to the upside. And now it's been kind of consolidating here. So the overbought condition is now behind us in the financials. That's not a problem any longer. What is the problem is what is this yield curve going to do, and how much borrowing is going to be done by the consumer, and a bunch of other things. and how much competition the small banks are going to give to big banks. And then, of course, if they do that, then they could water down some of their earnings as well. So there's a few different dynamics going on in the financials, and that's why people are looking at things like Goldman Sachs going, what the heck's it doing down 50 bucks off its high? You know, well, I think there are some winds of change out there that people are trying to figure out, and that's why the financials are, well, they took all the juice out of it as far as the overbought condition, and now the question is where are we going to turn? If you think the financials are going to go because you think, you know, obviously their profits and the environment's going to be great for them, then this thing is probably a buy-in here, because the 200-day average is at about 172, and the lows this year, you know, are not that far from here. So, you know, if you could get this thing on its bicycle a little bit more, and you're bullish on the financials, this is the neighborhood to be in it. If you think that the financials have seen their day and everybody who bought into them thinking it was money market are finding out that it's not money market. And I mean, it was one of the most popular things, the financials, right? The banks, the banks, the banks. So, you know, it's a very crowded space, even with the pullback. But if you're a believer in it, this is the neighborhood to get in. And if you want to short it, you might want to break see a break under 170 before you do that.
Okay. Larry.
Okay, so if you look at the financials, you know, they're struggling here. So here's just the XLF, you know, we've had, it's pulled down, broke through the 200-day, bounced back up, sitting right there on top of the 200-day again. So, you know, not looking too good. I was looking at Goldman Sachs earlier as well. If you look at that, just kind of backing into all this stuff, you can see, I mean, that just looks terrible. I mean, it's just down below all the moving averages on the lows. So not getting any support there. So if we come back over, then we look at AET. To me, it doesn't, definitely it's not something I'd want to go long here. And I can see it here. This is a 4-hour time frame. This is what we call, you know, look at that consolidation, how tight and coiled that is. I could see this potentially breaking down from here. If we start getting a separation to a close, let's say tomorrow or the next day, and it starts breaking below, on a closing basis below this, you know, like 174.50, I could see this back down to this 200-day moving average real fast. So, you know, this could be a short trade setup for a pretty quick move back down to this area and then see if it bounces. But I would definitely not be buying it here. And could potentially, like I said, just for kind of a momentum swing trade, 1 or 2 days down to this area, might take a look at that for a short.
All right. I think I'm with you. I like that. You know, I think you said 174. I'm in there. Once it breaks the Ichimoku cloud, it'd be better if it broke the 200, which is at 172. We could get a pretty good correction coming. I've actually been looking for shorts in the financial sector, and I found we're short Barclays, and that's working out pretty good. But there's probably a handful of good short candidates, and AET might be getting close as well. All right. Next up,
guys, we had a request from the live audience I'd like to get to before the end here.
Okay.
WSM.
Let's check it out.
Okay, I got it up. I'll go ahead if the other folks are pulling it up on their chart. So WSM, Williams Sonoma, no idea what they do. Today's volume is nearly 3 million, so it probably has decent liquidity. Again, I have no idea what sector this company is in. They had a huge impulsive move down from $90 down to under 45, so they lost half their value. So the question is, what would a retracement look like? Of course, the last week or so, they've been racing up, and they're in the correction zone already. So, you know, the place to play this for me would have been as it broke the cloud here at about 52, up at 60, too late. Not and by the way, your stop, you know, the logical support level would be 50, you know, 50 and some change under this low right here. At 60, that's a pretty big distance from the stop. The reward is, it's got a very small reward to risk ratio. So nice pop, breaking out of the channel, but no trade there for me, too late. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, if you're, this is a high-end retailer of home goods, and like Tiffany, or any other high-end stuff. People have money out there, and they're spending it at the higher-end places. Williams-Sonoma is the place you would go for higher-end stuff. And obviously, very lately, there's been a big run in the stock, so I don't know if there's news on it as far as a buyout or some type of activity with the stock, but obviously going from under 50 to 60 almost today. Something's going on news-wise. They don't just go up like that for no reason. The thing here is, and one of the reasons contributing is the short interest. You're at 23.56% short interest. So that's a pretty high number on short interest. And of course, that would get people going. The dividend yield is 284. So that's nothing to sneeze at. Still is a good dividend. So you got people looking at a lot of money, a lot of people spending at these stores on the higher end stuff. You got short interest covering a bit probably, and then you've got maybe some other news hitting the stock, and that's what gets the engine to go like this. If you're in this thing, I would definitely let it ride, and if you're not in it, you might hope to see if you get a bit of a pullback and try to verify that the news it might be trading off of is actually verifiable. But this does look good, and it is with the theme of the higher end stuff.
Okay. What do you got here, Larry, on Williams-Sonoma?
Yeah, if you just look at it real quick, it definitely looks like some kind of news-driven event here. But if you look here, this is a weekly time frame. You've got this blue line. That's a 200-week moving average. Usually, you never want to, you know, buy at a major 200-period moving average the first time up. So here's the first time up in a long time to the 200-week. You can see the last time it was up here, it tried one time, failed, two, three, four, failed, and then started selling off. So definitely not a place where I would ever buy first time up into a 200 period moving average, and that's a weekly. And then you've got a huge amount of clusters of Fibonacci, you know, levels right here. So if you take that swing high back here, back in August to the swing low, you take that swing high to low, you've got this just major alignment or cluster of a confluence of Fibonacci resistance. So a lot of resistance right here.
All right. Yeah. So it doesn't sound like anybody's teeing up an order on Williams at this moment on the panel here. But interesting. I'm glad we could field that on the fly. Hey, we only got a couple minutes left, so let's go around and just make any closing comments. And if there's a web page or link or something you want to share, this would be a good time to do that. So,
sure.
Jim.
Yep. Well, I want to thank everybody for having me here, David especially. And again, I try to encourage people if they want to learn more about options and all the different strategies that are available to them and how they may best fit into your game plans, either as a hedging device, a speculative device, or a cash flow creating device. These DVDs that we have are quite helpful. So if you want to shoot an email over to optionprofessor@gmail.com, we'll try to give you a hand with that. Other than that, appreciate being here with you guys today, and I think we covered a lot. So thanks a lot again.
All right. Thanks for being here, Jim. And Larry, closing thoughts and any?
Yeah, thanks again, Dean and David. And yeah, so come check us out, powercycletrading.com. I'll actually be doing a free webinar this Saturday. So you just go to my website, powercycletrading.com. You'll see this says click here for Larry's upcoming events. Click on that. And if you'd like to register for a free webinar, it'll be all about options. So I've been talking a bit about direction, but then when you combine options with your directional trading, it's going to really open up a new way for you to see the world as far as trading. So check us out, sign up for the free webinar, and hope to see a lot of you there. Thanks again for having me.
All right. Hey, thanks, Larry. It's always good to be here with you as well. And again, I'm Dean Jenkins, founder of followmetrades.com. There's my website, and you can check it out. I believe in complete transparency, so I've got my multi-year trading record posted here. It's audited by a third party. The results are real in my brokerage account, all the trade details. And a great way to get to, you know, foot in the water, find out more, and join me is to sign up for my free newsletter, weekly market analysis called Beyond the Noise. All right, so that is it. Hey, fun being here with you guys again. And David, thanks, as always, for pulling it together. And back to you to wrap it up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Great show. And for everyone watching, be sure to hit the YouTube subscribe button if you haven't yet. Also, I am working on getting the Timing Research shows published as podcasts on all the major podcast networks now. So I've up until now, I've only been publishing the shows on YouTube and putting up them up on the Time Research website, but I have the shows set up now on Podbean and Stitcher, and I'm working on getting them set up on iTunes and a bunch of the other major networks. So if you listen to podcasts, those will be audio only, of course, but if you can't watch the show live or don't have time to watch the video, you can at least listen to the audio in the car or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So be sure to watch for that. There will be announcements on the website and news newsletters and that sort of thing. Also, be sure to join us for both shows next week. Crowd Forecast News will be Monday, June 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And Analyze Your Trade, the next episode of this show, will be June 12th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I just want to thank all my guests again for this week. Larry Gaines of PowerCycleTrading.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, Dean Jenkins of FollowMeTrades.com. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, good, David.